no inclination at all to want to get out of it. It's good for you to understand the background, perhaps why they got in. And she shares her story, and just great, great, great insight. Just great books. Amen? Y'all got your Bible? Tonight I want to talk to you, just delve in a little bit deeper. Tonight I want to talk to you from the scriptures about the culture that we're living in and what the Bible says. You heard it in this video that there will be churches that promoting this sexual promiscuity. And I was sitting here talking to Pastor Bob, and he was saying he was watching and said that rabbis, priests, I mean, there's all kinds of, when we're driving to Charlotte, you ever drive down to Charlotte and you pass a few churches if you go to that one mall, I can't remember the name of it, but we pass this church on the left-hand side of the road that says it right on the sign, we embrace homosexuality and lesbianism, right on their sign on their church with a cross on it. And the Bible talks about these days and how to deal with it and what will be the outcome of it. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. You know, our goal in this, again, is not condemnation. I want to make sure that y'all understand. We're not going chasing after people living a homosexual lifestyle. Now, I am responsible for this church. I am the shepherd of this house, and I want to make sure that we understand the truth. I am not going to be one that is silent about sexual immorality, and not just homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, all those things. We'll treat it the same way. We have to address it, make sure you understand it, and deal with it. And if we know about it and you're in working in ministry of helps, we need to correct that and fix that. And we talked about that on Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But again, I just want to make sure that you understand we're not going around chasing down homosexuals or lesbians. This is what the Bible says. That's not our agenda. Our agenda is to let you know, in the event that you have family members that you want to be able to relate to and help minister to, or to know how to communicate with them and give them truth in a loving, kind way, and to protect our children. Our children are going to face stuff that you and I have never faced. You know, come on, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. When it was recess time and some boys wanted to go play hopscotch or jump rope, we called them names. It was a clear line. The boys played football, and that isn't always the case, but you know what I mean. It wasn't accepted. There was something going on if there was a little boy who wanted to play, what do you call this, with the two ropes? Double dutch. You get what I'm saying? And I get it. You know what I'm saying? We was just like, hold up. What's Jimmy doing playing with the girls? You know what I mean? It just wasn't accepted. And teacher, it wasn't accepted like that. And so we live in a totally different culture. You can see men kissing men and girls kicking girls on every television broadcast. Every series is going to introduce this because Hollywood has successfully masqueraded sexual immorality as glamorous. Glamorized it. They have made it. So they just show you one image. Two people meet each other, have sex. Doesn't matter if they're married, male or female, gay, whatever. And then they're happy. But that's not the truth of the matter, and that's not what, and God says there's going to be some consequences, so we have to share the truth. But do y'all get that? It is not, she said the phrase, and that's where I got it. It's, we don't condone, but we show compassion without compromise. Because many people have ended up in situations because of molestation, because of abuse, because of broken homes. Broken homes, I believe, is one of the greatest destruction to kids there is. Broken home. When you raise a kid without a father, and it is a very, very dangerous thing to try and raise children without both parents in their life. And so it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to be responsible with our sex and with our sexuality, because kids are involved. And for the world, the simple solution is just simply abort them. But this is not rocket science. Any woman who's had a baby realizes that's another life. That's a life. Hold up. Say amen right there. What's wrong with y'all? It's a life, and you know it. You know it when you're pregnant. And to say that that is not, that's my choice. Well, what about the baby who doesn't have a voice? That's, you know, so our world is completely, in 1973, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court said that abortions were legal in all 50 states. And in 1915, 1915, is it 1915? the Supreme Court, 1950, June 26th, you remember it, Obama put on the White House the rainbow flag when the Supreme Court approved, and those final 11 states said that same-sex marriage was allowed by law and protected by law. And the problem with this is, and this is why Christians have to wake up, because immediately after that happened, we started getting calls for me to marry homosexuals. And our insurance company said, here's what you guys have got to do. You have got to get in your bylaws. And we did. We changed it immediately that week. Put in your bylaws what you believe about marriage. Marriage is a sacred institution between one man and one woman, right? And we had to put that in our bylaws so we wouldn't get sued when I refused to do it. You had to. And so why I've got to tell you this is because there is a very militant, aggressive, homosexual gay agenda, a real radical militant gay activism that is the spirit of, that we talked about before, a spirit that's behind that, that hates Christians, that hates God, that hates the ministry and wants to shut us down. And so I believe most homosexuals aren't of that nature, but the spirit behind it is. Behind it is. And it is an evil spirit, and the Bible talks about these days that we live in. And so I want to talk to you about that, how we deal with that and what the Bible says about it. Y'all right? Look over in Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. They'll put it up here on the screen. We're living in these evil days that the Bible talks about. The last days. Come on, if Peter, in the book of Peter, said we're living in the last days, and in his book, he wrote it. If he was living in the last days, and the last days is designated by when Jesus came and was resurrected. From that period forth, the Bible classifies as the last days. So we're in the last of the last days. That's over 2,000 years ago. Y'all get it? So if he was in the last days, we're really in the latter last days. We really are, and the Bible has a lot of prophecy about it. And let's just look at a couple things. First of all, here's, I believe, that agenda. That radical LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer agenda. Queer or questioning is what that Q stands for. Y'all know that, right? And there's lobbyists in Washington, D.C. that are pushing an agenda that is to silence the church, to silence the word. To make us, when I stand up and say this, and see, if you don't know this, and if you're silent and say nothing when it's time to vote, what can really happen is it can become legal for it to be taught in schools and for you not to be able to do anything about it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody telling my kid questioning their sexuality. No. You're not going to do that in the public schools. And do y'all get this? There's so many back underlying things. And, you know, when the government takes over health care, when the government sanctions health care, guess what else they get to sanction? Abortions. They get to let your tax dollars pay for that. And they get to, in China right now, do you know it's illegal to have a Bible in China? Y'all know that? We live in a great country, but our rights are slowly being taken away because the church is so quiet and silent and political correctness over biblical correctness. Right. And there's really an agenda in Washington, D.C. to shut us up and to shut the church up and to eliminate the foundations that our nation is built on. Look at this passage right here. Good God, I wanted to tell you something else. But if here it is, Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Foundations. Y'all know that our nation is built on Judeo-Christian absolute laws called the Bible. Thou shalt not, built on things. And the government is supposed to punish people that break laws. That's the Bible says that government was instituted by God. Not all government is a godly thing. You get it? Now, not all governments have godly people running them, but God instituted government to help execute. If somebody murders somebody, if there's no law and there's no government, no one corrects it. So sheriffs, police, all these things have to be implemented and governed. Governed. They have to. Somebody has to say, if you start raping kids, we're going to punish you. Because the world is crazy. Somebody has to enforce it. And that's why the Bible says there must be a government in place. But when the righteous are silent, wicked people rule. And the Proverbs say this over and over and over. If the righteous are in rulership, the people rejoice. But if the wicked are in rule, and that's what's happening, if the wicked are in rule, the people become silent. We cannot do that. So do y'all see this? It's foundations are being destroyed. Foundations. To rip a baby out of a woman's womb. This is not rocket science. It's wrong. It's wrong. Amen? Amen. All right. So turn over in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Let me show you what the Bible says, a prophecy that the Bible, I want to show you several prophecies about this time, all right? And then we can go home. And I need to stop and get something to eat, but we all out of food. I didn't cook today. Bonefish open when I get out of here. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise his name. All right, turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. I read one of these verses to you. This is that prophecy that talks about in the end times how good will be called evil and evil will be called good. Do y'all get what that's saying? That's saying, like if I say homosexuality is wrong, evil people will say, you're wrong. And so evil will be considered good. Homosexuality is good, and it's politically correct to say incorrect to say something against it. For me to say something against that, I can go to jail. You get what I'm saying? That's a flip. Are y'all following me? All right, watch what Isaiah says about it. He says, so my people will go into exile far away because they do not know me. In the latter days, he's talking about that there and that believers will not really know God. And this is such a danger because this is really what Christianity is. And most people don't get this, that it's a real relationship. You can't talk somebody out of sin. It's a relationship that people have. When you have genuine relationship, and I'm convinced that many people don't experience this because your life will be so radically changed. So radically changed with a close relationship. It changes the relationship with your spouse. You can't cheat on your wife when you have genuine relationship with Jesus because you recognize the price that he paid for your life and how much he loves you. It's just something different. When you really love somebody, you can't really, Jesus said it, if you really love me, you keep my commandments. It's not it. And what he's talking about is real relationship. And that's what he's talking about here. So my people will go into exile away because they do not know me. Those who are great and honored will starve. Great believers God has a purpose and destiny for them, they're great people, but they'll starve because they're not getting the word. Watch this. And the common people will die of thirst. Thirst, watch. The grave is licking its lips in anticipation, opening wide its mouth. And here, if you read this in the King James, it says that hell is expanding because of this. You see that? Anybody got a King James Version? See that verse? Or something different other than that NLT? Real quickly, New King James. Can you just read it to me? 14, please.
Therefore, Sheol has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure, and their glory and their multitude and their power.
Hell is expanding. Why? Do you get what he's saying? Hell was not made for humans. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But because the word isn't being preached, it's being expanded. That's what he's talking about here. Therefore, yeah. Oh, thank y'all back there. Okay, go ahead and flip it back to me, if you don't mind. Verse 15, yes. Oh, and the great, opening its mouth wide, the great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. So it's talking about how more sinners going into hell because the people aren't preaching the word. Watch this. Humanity will be destroyed and people brought down. Even the arrogant will lower their eyes in humiliation. But the Lord of heaven's armies will be exalted by his justice. The holiness of God will be displayed by his righteousness. God is still God. In that day, lambs will find good pastures, and fatted sheep and young goats will feed among the ruins. He's saying there are some people that will still be able to get the word. All right? You're in a good church. I hope you see that. What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies. Now listen to what he's saying here. There will be many people carrying around their sins because they aren't hearing the truth. walking around with sins, walking around with addictions, because people, pastors aren't telling the truth how to get them free. If you don't hear the truth about sexuality, many of you will walk around with sexual bondages. That's what he's saying. Do you get it? Well, sorry for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, because they haven't heard the truth. They're still carrying around addictions and sins. Who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. Wow. They even mock God and say, hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is. They have a desire to know what God's saying, but they don't. But no one's preaching it. All right? What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. Here it is. The morals flipped. Good becomes what's bad. No, good becomes considered bad and bad becomes considered good. You get it? It's good. I mean, they are fighting. Are y'all watching this on the news? They are fighting. There is these politicians are there. You better not. I mean, if you don't let us have abortions till the 9th month, we're going to pull our business. Let us kill your babies. And they do this in the name of rights? Are you listening to that? Do you hear that? And believers get mad at me for saying this. I have to say it. Or we'll be deceived as a people because we don't hear the word. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Y'all get that? And he says, what sorrow for those who say evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. Do y'all get this? Do y'all get this? And that's what's happening is people saying, well, this isn't really a life. This, oh, we all have these rights as gays and lesbians to be married. We want the same rights to be married. God is the one who ordained marriage. You can't change the definition of that. And even if the Supreme Court does, if the Supreme Court one day says that prostitution is legal now, do y'all know that it's not right? They're not arguing that, though. It's homosexuality that they're arguing. Are you getting me? There's an agenda. But right, we want to have compassion for these girls. Most of them don't have an education. They're prostitutes, and you know, maybe they grew up in a bad home. We ought to love them. We ought to just sanction this. They got to make money somehow. They're not educated. Let's help them out. That's the spirit that's behind this lesbianism and homosexuality agenda. This militant, aggressive agenda for lobbying in D.C. and making laws to sanction it, not just for us, but for our kids. And piggyback on civil rights movement? Are you kidding? You should be outraged at that, but most believers aren't. Come on, y'all. We're believers. I think. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. You get what he's saying? Sin is just becoming rampant. It's even acceptable in the church just to be drunk, just to be. It is destructive. They take bribes. Watch this. They take bribes to let the wicked go free, and they punish the innocent. There's that flip again. And here it's telling us government will punish those who are right and let go those who are wicked. Do y'all see the flip here? That's talking about government and politics. Therefore, just as fire licks up stubble and dry grass, shrivels in the flame, so their roots will rot and their flowers wither, for they have rejected what? The law of the Lord of heaven's armies. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Why is this happening? Because preachers aren't preaching the word. People and even believers begin to despise the word. We believe the media, the news, and if you're watching the news, please believe this. If you're watching just secular news, if you only watch CNN and headline news, I used to love it till I saw how much they really were lying. I saw it real blatantly in two things. I saw it with the, you know, I'm connected with Love Life. Love Life went down to Washington, D.C. on that, when they had prayer for, the prayer for life and all that kind of stuff. CNN, I'm watching, waiting to see them report it. They didn't. They came and they did some report about a few protesters, went and talked to the protesters saying, you know, trying to find somebody who had who got an abortion because their baby was in danger or they were in danger. Do you know the percentage? Not one, not even a whole percent of people have abortions based on the danger of the mother's health or the baby's health or rape. They went and found somebody who had been raped and said, well, thank God I got an abortion. It is such a minor, it's not even 1% of all of them. 99% of the people who have abortions are just simply because they're irresponsible with their sex. Right. And it's birth control. Yes, I believe in a right to protect a woman's body. Protect it while you're having sex. Right. Use your brain. Is that too strong? No, do y'all get that? And that's what the Bible's saying. We're not saying the right thing. We're saying kill a, the government says kill a baby instead of stop having irresponsible sex. Stop being sexually immoral. And do you get it? Now, our kids, if they don't hear this, if they don't hear it from their pastor and their parents, they won't know because the school isn't going to say this. The Planned Parenthood's answer is condoms and abortion. That's how they make their money on abortion. Many of y'all Christians are, don't go see this stuff and find out the truth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Christians are destroyed for being ignorant. Watch this verse. That's why the Lord's anger burns against who?
His people.
Come on, y'all. Y'all see this? And why he has raised his fist to crush them, his own people. The mountains tremble and the corpses of his people litter the streets like garbage. God's own people dying, killing babies, having abortions, doing foolish stuff because they don't know the word. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Y'all read the verses before? Do like this if y'all hear me. Y'all just looking at me like, like y'all are constipated. But even then, the Lord's anger is not satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. Look over in Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. How's my time? Oh, good. B, I'm going to go all the way down to number 2. I'm not going to do number 2. I'm going to stop after Peter. That's what I wanted to do in the first service. Ran out of time. All right? Look at this. Amos chapter 11, 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming. Say, this is now. Mm-hmm. Says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's coming a famine. Where, watch y'all, where many believers are more interested in hooping and hollering and preaching than understanding what the Bible says. A good preacher. And I love good preaching too. But I don't want to go home and just, what did he preach? I don't know, but it sure was good. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And come on, y'all know our people like that. Now, we like, not everybody, but y'all know, black people like some hollering and sweating. It's be spitting and hollering and sweating. That was a good service. Now, that's foolishness to me. I don't, you got to have an organ player and do all that. And not getting any word, not learning how this works, right? And that's why believers are broke, busted. That's exactly right. They shall wander from sea to sea. Shall wander from sea to sea. Jumping from church to church, jumping here and there, jumping from marriage to marriage, jumping from relationship to relationship, jumping into homosexuality, lesbianism, jumping from relationship, just jumping from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord. Listen what they really need, but shall not find it. That's the problem right there. This is why we have to preach it, and we have to preach it with fervor. We have to preach it with clarity. We have to let people know what is the truth. Now, I take heat for this. I get heat for what I'm saying right now. And guess what? I don't care. I've already had people that left. I can't believe you're standing. I believe in a woman's right. I said, I do too. But I also believe in a baby's right who can't talk. And I believe in adults taking responsibility and doing what the Bible says. That's what I believe. And that's what the Bible says. Am I smiling?
Yes.
Come on, I get passionate about this stuff. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be fussing. How far am I going? 14, yes. In that day, look what it says. In that day, what day? In the evil day, that last day. In that day, fair virgins and strong men shall faint from thirst. Virgins and young men will faint. In other words, they'll fall. They're hungering for the word, but no one's telling them. I have to tell your children and your virgins and your sons and your daughters, do not get involved in sexual immorality. It's going to get worse. And I'm doing the heavy lifting for you. You bring your kids, and this will give you a platform to have a conversation with them. Because they're going to be confronted by stuff at school way before you and I did. Come on, somebody. I went to high school trying to figure out how to talk to a girl. All scared. Come on, somebody. Then I figured it out. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm saying? All right. Those who, watch this. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. They shall fall and never rise again. What is that? He's talking about believers here. He said, those who swear by the sin of Samaria. Do you remember the woman at the well? Jesus walked up to her, and it was hot, and she was getting well, and she asked him for a drink. And remember, she was a Samaritan. The sin of Samaritans, remember what it was? The sin of the Samaritans, they had a mixed truth. They were hybrid people. They were part Jewish and part Samaritan. And they mixed their, remember Jesus said to her, you don't even know who you worship. And that was it. They had, what he's saying here is, in the last days, there'll be people who get born again, but mix it with their own philosophies. They got Jesus and they got the world too. And he calls it the sin of Samaria. Sin of Samaria. It's this mixed gospel, and you see it more and more. When a church can embrace sexual immorality as normal, that's that mixed gospel. They say they're Christians, but then they're also embracing immorality. Come on, somebody. There's been so many preachers, big-time preachers, because they preach really good, that cheat on their wife, sleep with women in the church, and then still just change a church and go on and do it bigger. I can name names up here, and they're still on TV. You still see them, and that's not my agenda. But I'm just saying, because we're ignorant and we like preaching. All right, enough of that. Am I ranting and raving? I don't want to be ranting and raving. Am I, Pastor? I'm just telling the truth, right? Without an attitude, because I don't feel like I got an attitude, but I'm getting a little stirred up, Turn over in your Bible. Turn over in your Bible. Do y'all get this? This is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. All right. And I want to tell y'all so much. If you'll stick with me, I want to reveal so much to you from the scriptures without you getting mad. No. Y'all are saying it's all right. But I'm telling you, I'm going to rock some of y'all's world. Y'all ain't ready. You are not ready. I'm telling you, you're not. I promise you, you're not. Y'all ain't ready. Because the way most of y'all vote, what did I tell you? I'm going to read to you. Did y'all say, don't be mad with my vote. I ain't gonna mess with your vote, but I am gonna read to you what the Democratic Party's platform says. Let me just read to you what it says. Now listen, I'm not condoning a person in office, but I'm telling you, the moment we push an agenda, we've just voted against the Bible. Come on, anybody with good sense doesn't like the personality of the person in there, in the office. But he's now put a bill to put prayer back in school. That's good. Now, and it's on their platform. It says it on the Republican platform. Now, I know y'all. Come on, somebody. I voted for Obama the first time, not the second. After I saw what was going on, I'm like, whoa, hold up. Hold up, this ain't right. When they come talking about, hold up, we gonna take people aren't gonna be allowed to give to your church with tax deduction anymore. In fact, you're gonna have to start marrying gay people. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I said it to some people and they jumped on me. Some of my leaders. I'm like, are you serious? Do you not understand this? Do you not understand what this is saying? Come on, somebody. Like I said, y'all ain't ready. I got to show you what the Bible says first before I show you what your candidates say. All right, y'all ain't ready. Seriously, you wouldn't have liked Abraham. You wouldn't have even liked King David. You sure wouldn't have liked Paul. Are you with me? You wouldn't have liked Paul because he was killing Christians. But God used him. You wouldn't like David because of his adultery issues. But God used him. See, y'all, let me stick to my notes because y'all ain't ready for me. God can use anybody. He'll use a donkey if he has to. He's using a goofball like me. Come on, somebody. I'm glad y'all didn't say amen right there. Thank you. All right. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm just sharing with you truth, and some people will be mad about it, and that's all right. My objective is not to change you, but just to share you truth. God has to do all that. But you got to realize the dangers that's involved. Oh, here, let me just read the Bible. Watch this. I don't have to say nothing. Turn over in your Bible to 1 Peter. To 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read in the Amplified, verse 13 through 18. I'm getting hungry, so hurry up. Watch this. Are y'all with me? Did y'all hear it when I said your vote? Y'all was like, oh! People started reaching. Like, they about to take that gun from you, too. Do y'all know why the... I can't tell y'all everything. If I tell y'all, y'all get mad. Do you know who introduced legislation for gun control when it was introduced? After abolition of slavery. Why? By the Democratic Party, why was it introduced? So that slaves wouldn't get guns and kill their owners now that they're free. I could roll y'all, I could knock you out of that chair right now with just truth, but you got to read. You got to read. But let me just go on with this. I tell you what, my wife's in Atlanta with my son. I want her with a gun. Want her there with a gun. You want them with it because if somebody, it's not the criminals who, it's the good people that won't get guns. It's the criminals get them. They don't buy them at the gun shop. They don't get a license for the gun. Just you to protect your house and your family. You're the ones who won't be armed. Okay. All right, I'm sorry, y'all. Here, I'm trying to read Peter. But y'all spurred me on when I said your vote. Y'all was like, oh! Oh! You better not mess with Obama. I could tell you about the economy and jobs. We were worse off as African Americans after Obama left office. But again, I ain't gonna say it until I read you statistics, numbers, facts, truth. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, if you dare. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, Amplified Bible. Now, who is there to hurt you if you are zealous followers of that which is good? What she's saying here, in the last day, there is gonna be persecution and prosecution of the believer. The Bible talks about this. You know, that there's going to be this pressure against the believer. And he says, who's going to hurt you if you do right? Watch what he says. But even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, happy to be envied. Do not dread or be afraid of their threats, nor be disturbed by their opposition. But in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. Why do you believe what you believe and why? Be ready to give an account of why abortion is wrong. Be ready to give an account of why homosexuality, God says it's wrong. We're not chasing them down, but in case, look, read it. Always be ready to give a logical defense. In other words, y'all know what defense is? Someone's attacking you. All right? You don't have the ball. You're running the ball. Somebody's trying. They're coming after you. Their aggression is towards you. This happened to me. This happened to me a few years back. I was in the chiropractor. You remember when I hurt my back years ago? And it was years ago, but I had to be pushed out on stage, and I was going to the chiropractor 5 days a week, sometimes two times a day because they wanted me to have a surgery, and I didn't want to have the surgery, and God healed me, but I was going to the chiropractor. And I'm sitting in the chiropractor's office, and the, you know, if you've never been there, they stick these things on you that stick on you, and then they turn up the electric shock, and it's just like, zzz, zzz, you know, and it's doing that. And I'm sitting there minding my business, reading my book. You got it? I'm just there at lunch, just like, okay, hey, how you doing? And I sit there in the room, in the little room, and somebody comes in next to me, in the chair next to me. They put on their things. He recognizes who I am from television. Hey, are you Pastor Stokes? He was obviously homosexual, gay. You know what I mean? You could see the spirit on him. It was that kind of thing. He says, oh, Pastor Stokes, Destiny, right? He said, what do you think? And then he started trying to provoke me. Well, I'm not trying to engage with him. I'm not picking a fight. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? And so I showed him love. I said, no, we love homosexuals. We love everybody. And he's trying to pick, you know, trying to get me to engage with him. And that's not my agenda. You get it? I knew he was there for a fight, not truth. He's trying to push his agenda on me. And I'm not interested in your agenda. I know what the Bible says. You get what I'm saying? So, but I'm not bothering him. I'm just trying to get my back right. Come on. But he's provoking me. Well, what do you think? Blah, 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 blah. And he's pushing me. How did you vote on this one? None of your business, man. That ain't none of your business, darn. You know, but that's what he's saying here. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. Right. Bible gives us instruction here. And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, unimpaired, so that when you are falsely accused, you're a bigot, you're against us, you hate this. No, that's not the case. You get it? When you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ, you doing right in Christ, may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives. He said, live a right lifestyle so when they do start persecuting you, they can't find any junk. Do y'all get what he's saying right here? You know, if you're shacking up and you're doing all kinds of foolish crap, and then you're saying, well, I don't believe in that, they're going, well, what about this? You get it? He says, for it is better to suffer unjustly for doing right if that should be God's will than to suffer justly for doing wrong. You caught up in junk. You lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. You get it? For Christ the Messiah himself died for the sins, for sins once for all, and the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the innocent for the guilty, that he might bring us to God. In his human body, he was put to death, but he was made alive in the spirit. Is that it? Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, are you with me? 2 Peter, I think that's the end of that verse. Oh, yeah, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse, and I'm going to just read this whole chapter. I'm just going to read the Amplified, then we're going home. Watch what he says here. Y'all watching? But also, in those days, there rose false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among yourselves, who will subtly and stealthily introduce heretical doctrines, destructive heresies. He's talking about in the last days what preachers will do. Even denying and disowning the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their immoral ways and lascivious doings. These are people who preach and validate sexual immorality, and those are what those terms mean, lascivious and immoral ways. Are y'all with me? Because of them, the true way will be maligned and defamed. Because of whack preachers, the truth will be maligned. People will look. You've heard it said before. I see it on Facebook all the time. I see it on Facebook. Well, that's why I stopped going to church. That's why I stopped going. That's why I don't even deal. And that's what the Bible's talking about in Thessalonians. This great falling away is a falling away from the word. in their covetousness, lust, greed, they will exploit you with false cunning arguments. From of old, the sentence of condemnation for them has not been idle. Their destruction, eternal misery, has not been asleep. God's saying there's going to be some people that stand up and start preaching foolishness, preaching lust, preaching that homosexuality is all right, preaching these types of things. He said, but condemnation and judgment is coming for them. Don't worry. God didn't even spare angels that sinned, but cast them into hell, delivering them to be kept there in pits of gloom till the judgment and their doom. And he spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven other persons when he brought a flood upon the world of ungodly people. He condemned to ruin and extinction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, and thus set them forth as an example to those who would be ungodly. Do you get what he's saying? He's comparing the time that we're going to be living in to these times. You got to read the book of Peter. He says in the last days, it's going to be just like in Noah's day and just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. A bunch of people living this heinous, crazy life, but the end is coming. That's what he's talking about. He rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and lawless. You all remember Lot's story? Remember what happened with Lot and his wife, how she turned into a pillar of sand because her heart was still connected to that homosexual area? And do you remember what happened? Lot ended up sleeping with who? His own kids. He was defiled, and that's what the Bible says. He was saved. He was righteous. Do you get what it's showing us? That there's a world that's going to be destroyed, but even the righteous get jacked up because of this. For that just man living there among them tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of their unlawful wicked deeds. Because he lived among homosexuality, hung out there, that it affected him as a righteous man. Now, if all these things are true, then be sure the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptations and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. Next. And particularly those who walk after the flesh and indulge in the lust of polluting passion and scorn and despise authority. Presumptuous and daring, self-willed and self-loving creatures. He's talking about humanity in this time. They scoff at and revile dignitaries, glory ones, without trembling. Whereas even angels, though superior in might and power, do not bring a defaming charge against them before the Lord. But these people, like unreasoning beasts, mere creatures of instinct born only to be captured and destroyed, railing at things of which they are ignorant, talking about stuff they don't know anything about, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, in their destroying. They shall surely be destroyed. Next. Being destined to receive punishment as the reward of their unrighteousness. He's talking about people who are going to be misleading the church, misleading believers. What will happen to them? All right. Being destined to receive punishment as the reward of their unrighteousness, suffering wrong as the hire for their wrongdoing, they count it a delight to revel in the daytime, living luxuriously and delicately. Next. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions and carousing together, even as they feast with you. They sit and eat with you, believer. They have eyes full of harlotry, right? Insatiable for sin. They beguile and bait and lure away unstable souls. Their hearts are trained in covetousness, lust, greed. They are children of a curse, exposed to cursing. Forsaking the straight road, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam. Do y'all remember the sin of Balaam? Balaam tried to curse him. Remember what it was? Do y'all remember me teaching y'all this? That Balaam couldn't curse him. He took money to try to curse him. Y'all remember the whole story. I talked about that. And I will talk about this some on Sunday. The son of Beor, who loved the reward of wickedness. Next. But he was rebuked for his own transgression when a dumb beast, remember that donkey, a burden, spoke with a human voice and checked the prophet's madness. Put him in check. A donkey did. These are springs without water and mist driven along before a tempest for whom is reserved forever for gloom and darkness, for the gloom and darkness. For uttering loud boasts of folly, they beguile and lure with lustful desires of the flesh those who are barely escaping from them who are wrongdoers. They promise them liberty. They promise believers liberty when they themselves are slaves of depravity and defilement. For by whatever anyone is made inferior or worse or is overcome, to that person or thing he is enslaved. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full personal knowledge, listen what he's describing. For these people who are trying to lead people astray, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again have become entangled in them and are overcome, their last condition is worse for them than their first. They'd gotten saved, but then they got re-entangled into junk. I'm reading the New Testament. Do y'all see this? People who had gotten saved end up being lured by not hearing the truth back into junk that they left. Homosexuality, back in the club, back into promiscuity, back into junk. Believers! Watch. Back up to that verse right before it so I can read this one straight through 21 if you don't mind. We're almost there and we're done. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again become entangled in them and are overcome. Their last condition is worse for them than their first. They're worse off after they got saved. They're in more junk than they were before they got saved. Read on. For never to have obtained a full personal knowledge of the way of righteousness would have been better for them than having obtained such knowledge to turn back from the holy commandment which was verbally delivered to them. There has befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb. The dog turns back to his vomit and the sow is washed only to wallow again in the mire. He said they left junk and then ended up in more junk. Close your Bible. Do y'all get that? Read it at home and go over it again. You can read it in a bunch of translations. But Peter is talking about the last day, how the word will be rare, and so believers will be deceived. Come on, somebody. Say, not me. Not me. Amen. Y'all receive that tonight?